Was hat die Ausbildung bei dir in deinem Leben beruflich verändert?
Da hat die Ausbildung jetzt alles verändert, weil es ist mir der Schritt in die Sichtbarkeit ermöglicht worden. Ich habe meine eigene Identität gefunden, wie ich mich darstellen will, wie ich nach außen gehen will. Und von daher alles verändert, jetzt muss ich sagen.
Sicher dir jetzt einen der begrenzten Ausbildungsplätze der Mindful Masters Coaching Ausbildung. Alle Infos findest du auf www.sarahdesai.de/mindfulmasters-academy. Hey, wie schön, dass du hier heute wieder am Start bist bei den Mindful Sessions, bei deinem Podcast für mehr Achtsamkeit und Soul Power. Hier geht es heute um den Beitrag, den wir leisten können, um unsere Erde zu schützen. Und ich habe mir einen Philanthropen eingeladen. Ich werde jetzt in Englisch switchen, denn dieses Interview wird auf Englisch sein. And I'm very happy to welcome a world-known author and a world-known philanthropist, Sergio Bambarin, happy to have you here.
Oh, it's an honor, Sarah. Thank you very much for your invitation and looking forward to talk with you. Thanks again.
I'm so happy to have you here and to talk about what we as an individual can do to preserve this beautiful planet we are living on. And you are known as an author and a philanthropist, and your philanthropist work is, let's say, focused on the ocean and the animals living in the ocean. Can you tell us, like, when did you start with the work, and what was like the tipping point for you to say, okay, I have to do something and I want to engage in preserving the world?
Yes, Sarah. My passion is surfing, and I started surfing when I was 7 years. I was born in front of a city that overlooks the ocean, so my bond with the ocean has been basically all my life. At the beginning, it was beautiful to surf with the dolphins. And then while I grew up, because I've been surfing all around the world, in some places, I noticed so many creatures of the ocean, you know, struggling with drift nets. For example, turtles entangling nets. Dolphins also. And I started to notice, you know, all these amazing creatures stranded in the beach. So I went a little deeper and into this issue, and I started to realize that something was causing all this damage to our beautiful oceans. And it was definitely the hand of humans. Besides writing, my passion has always been to take care of the environment, basically the ocean, but now I'm also into rivers, lakes, basically rivers, because of the contamination of the mining industry. And it's been getting worse and worse. Just to give you an example, 30 years ago, the population of sharks around the world was so healthy. And although we are sometimes scared about about sharks because of movies like Shark from Hollywood, but basically I've dived with them, and they are amazing creatures. But most important, they are the creatures that basically keep the oceans clean, because they get rid of all the dead fish, of all the carcasses, and they play a vital role in keeping the balance of the oceans. 30 years later, the population of sharks is 5% of what it used to be. So we have a huge problem there, because we don't maintain the balance, and that means that other species start to overpopulate the oceans. And that causes an imbalance. Besides that, as I said, drift nets, it's a huge problem also for the ocean, because these are ships that they throw their nets and basically they go to the bottom of the ocean and they just take away everything, not only what they are trying to fish, but if there are turtles, manta rays, any other creature, also coral reefs, it will destroy everything. So besides, I started to listen to the voice of my heart and I said, I cannot do nothing. I'm a writer, but that doesn't mean that I cannot try to take care of our beautiful oceans. And lately I live in Canary Islands, and again, it's the same problem everywhere. I go diving or I go just snorkeling, and the amount of plastic and garbage that I found in the ocean has made that many species that I used to swim with, like turtles or manta rays or local fish, are not there anymore. So definitely there's something wrong. And one of the big problems, and I have to say I always say it straightforward, there's nothing wrong with fishing because we have to feed ourselves. I'm a vegetarian myself, but I respect people who eat meat. The problem is that greediness has caught the soul of a few. And they don't realize the destruction that they are making, because the most important thing for them is the bottom line. It's money. And that's where the real problem starts. And that's what we're trying to fight against by educating people, by saying, look, be careful with, look what you buy. Be sure that, these are good practices in fishing, and also do the right thing when you are at the beach. I'll give you an example. The other day, of course, a lot of people love to eat octopuses, but everywhere in developed nations, there is a standard of the octopus. I mean, the size of the octopus you can catch, I mean, to take to dinner. And I found this guy that he was really catching very small octopuses that basically he's damaging the environment because he doesn't let the cycle of life go on. And those little octopuses that are going to be the future for making more octopuses, if you break the chain, there is no future. But to tell you the truth, I think we're coming now to a point of no return with the climate change, which is also very important. Creatures of the ocean are behaving so erratically because of the warmth of the heat in the oceans, and many are disappearing. So basically, we try to get involved in anything we can that stops in a big way, or person by person, you know, that who saves one life saves a whole universe. So we can do a lot of things by ourselves in keeping our oceans healthy. And also with the new book that I'm launching, which is the sequel of The Dolphin, my original book, we're going to start a campaign called The Power of One Multiplied by the Power of Millions all around the world.
You said the point of no return. When we talk about like the ocean or even climate change, would you say we already reached the point of no return? Is it safe to say there is already damage made that we can't undo anymore?
No, there is damage done that, you see, when I say the point of no return, we're very close to it. but we've done already damage in land and also in the oceans that will take, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years to recover if we do the right thing right now. Because if we keep waiting, yeah, we can get to a point in which, I don't say it, biologists say it, scientists say it, oceanographers say it. Once a species disappears, that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. But worse than that, once a species disappears, it creates a ripple effect with other creatures because they are not, they cannot find their food, or maybe this species were the ones who keep the oceans healthy. And you see, nobody's totally certain what will happen. The only thing we can tell at this stage is that there's definitely so much damage being done, and we have to act now.
Mm-hmm.
And when the point of no return will come, I couldn't tell you an exact time. But we see that this process of degrading the oceans is accelerating, and that's the reason why we have to act now.
As you said, like every creature and also like plants have or play a certain role in a very fragile ecosystem. And when one is extinguished, then the ecosystem like is on a tipping point and maybe collapses. And I think what we sometimes as humans forget is that we also are part of this ecosystem, which is very fragile.
What we forget is that humans are part of nature, not the owners of it. That's what we forget. Mm-hmm. And we think that we can do whatever we want with nature. No, we're part of nature. If we come to a critical point, nature will heal itself. And one of the ways it will heal itself is by, I don't know, I prefer not to say it, but you know, with all these fires and all this climate change, tornadoes everywhere, floodings, earthquakes, I think Mother Nature is giving us signs that we have to stop this.
I totally agree. And I love what you said. We forget that we are part of nature and not the owner of nature. And being part of the nature, I think sometimes also we have lost the connection to nature. And I'm very interested in your point of view. But like, because most of us, maybe think, yeah, what do I have to do with the ocean? Yeah, what do I have to do with nature? I'm living in the city. So like for me, for example, I'm living in Berlin, and swimming is not my big thing. Like my father couldn't swim, for example. He never learned. I learned swimming very, very late in life. And now last, like in November, we went to the Indian Ocean, and I had my little swim vest because I'm not Ariel, but I was snorkeling and I went to the ocean, and there were wild dolphins. It was not a cruise, you know, there were wild dolphins, hundreds of them, and I was swimming with them, and I was so touched. You can't believe it. I was so touched. This was one of the most special moments in my life because it was not orchestrated. They were just there. And I felt so in touch with nature. And I think a lot of people maybe also be like, we lost touch to nature, you know? And we have to get in touch again to feel like, hey, there is this beauty and I have to protect this beauty and I'm part of this beauty.
Of course, Sarah, I agree totally with you. You see, I don't know if your guests will agree with me, but we're living in a society with so much technology, and there's nothing wrong with technology. It's the way we use it. And we are, what I've seen is that Everything starts out with greediness. In my case, I can only talk about for myself. You see, you know, people think that because I've sold millions of books and things, they think that I live in a, you know, in a really fashion life and everything. No, I live in a nice apartment. I live a simple life, financial peace of mind. And I use a second hand car because I learned with time that no matter what car you use, it will take you from A to B. It doesn't have to be a $1 million car because a second-hand car will do the same job. So and the reason I do it is thinking about nature. I'll give you an example, Sarah. The other day, I cleaned my apartment, and I was amazed to see all the things I had that I didn't need it. So I gave them away. Because we live in a society in which it seems that the more we have, the better we are. But it doesn't work that way because I see so many sad faces all around the world. You know, money doesn't bring happiness. It brings peace of mind, financial peace of mind, of course. And it's important. But when is enough enough? So we keep on buying, thinking that the next thing will make us happier, but that happiness just lasts for a month or two, and then we want to crave because basically we're empty inside of us, and happiness resides in our heart and nowhere else. So I've been to places around the world that people live such a simple life, but they have the biggest smiles I've seen in my life. You know, because they understood that they don't need any more. They live beautiful lives, very spiritual lives also. But at the same time, each one takes care of the others and they live in harmony with nature. Unfortunately, and I have to say it, you know, we are building more and more concrete walls and cities all over the world because for our safe zone, for our comfort zone. But that has a price. And the price that this has is that we're taking more than Mother Nature can give us. So now there's an unbalance. We're taking, as I said before, we are taking more from Mother Nature than what Mother Nature can give us. So this will not last forever. It will come to a critical point in which, as someone very smart said, we humans will realize that we cannot drink petrol or eat money. Mm. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to avoid, because there's so many wonderful people around the world trying to do the right thing, but it's very hard to fight against these huge multinational corporations. And because now it's like the world, everything's money. You know, when I was a kid, the simple things of life, nothing to do with money. Watching a sunset, you know, swimming with the dolphins, just smiling, hugging with friends instead of using cell phones. But the change has been, I mean, the world changes all the time. And we've come to this point in which I believe that if we don't do something to respect and help nature heal itself, we're definitely going in the wrong direction.
Mm. And I think I totally agree. And I also think, as you said, we consume more and more. And as an individual, we think, oh, my happiness is with the next thing I buy. And what we see is that, like, more and more people are really, you know, getting into depression and things like that, because there is, that is not that real happiness, and there is not spirituality or whatever you want to call it. It's just consumer behavior, which is getting out of control.
Exactly. And you've touched a really important issue. It's amazing how many, I mean, the disease of this century is depression and anxiety. Because instead of looking at ourselves and trying to be happy ourselves, because of all this marketing and promotions, we're always trying to compare what the other one has. And I have nothing against, you know, someone who loves cars, because it's his love. It's what he really loves. But, you know, using things or trying to outstand against others just because you think you will feel better, sooner or later you won't. And that hole in your soul or your heart, whatever you want to call it, will definitely go deeper and deeper and deeper. You said something so beautiful before, Sarah, when you went to the Indian Ocean. You watched these wild dolphins just jumping and, you know, going around their way, doing what they are supposed to do. And you feel a magic feeling when you see them. How to explain that? We're born to them. I don't have an answer. The only thing I can tell you is that I feel exactly the same that you feel. And every person who had that experience feels the same. So, again, the most beautiful treasures in life are free. So I guess we have to go back to our basics and look inside ourselves, because happiness resides inside of you and nowhere else, and see exactly what is worth doing and what is worth not doing. Because the other thing which is so important, if you start to fill your life with things, that takes so much of your time, because you need time to buy those things, to purchase them, to earn the money to get them. You only live once. So what is it more important, to fill your life with things and suddenly, you know, you turn 80 and 90 and you will see back, you will look back and you say, what did I do? I have a lot of things, but I don't have the time anymore. So in my personal case, I prefer to live a simple life, taking care of nature, and of course with my basic necessities covered, and enjoy life, because the most precious gift that we have, besides our lives, is our time. So what we do with our time is what we will leave in this world, you know, as what we did to try to make the world a little better.
And to feel this connection, what you said before when I described the dolphins, and you said, yeah, I don't know how to describe the feeling. I just can say I feel exactly the same. So it's like coming home. It's like a connection, a longing, which is, you didn't even knew you had this longing, and then it's there and you have this feeling and it's like, oh, I'm home.
Yeah, we left home so long ago and we didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. And again, passing the day all day watching screens, you know, cell phones, eating all this material that made us no good at all. There's a whole world outside. And to do that, I think that we have to recover our humanity, our empathy. Be kind with nature, and live the life we were supposed to live, and not let we always let us be the owners of technology and not technology the owners of life.
Absolutely. And I think it also has a lot to do with compassion, not only compassion for nature, also compassion for ourselves, compassion to know and to feel I'm connected, and to step out of the isolation, which is made through the phones, through consumer behavior. I totally agree. And your new book is an invitation to do this, a beautiful invitation. Can you tell us a little bit?
Yeah, the Dolphin and the Voice of the Ocean is the sequel of my first novel, The Dolphin Story of a Dreamer. It took me 30 years to write it, because now I think it's the right time. And in the German case, I thank to my publishing house, Piper Verlag, because I think it's the timing is perfect. We see a chaotic world, wars ravaging everywhere, nature getting so destroyed everywhere, and also. This, again, I have to repeat it, this crazy race of getting more and more, we should see people for what they have instead of seeing people for what they are. And it's happening everywhere. It's happening everywhere. And the Dolphin and the Voice of the Sea is a fable in which I try to tell through, again, Daniel Alexander Dolphin and other creatures of the ocean, that we have to go back to our roots and recover our humanity, recover our kindness, be kind always, bond each other, recover empathy, trust in unconditional love, and let's get together to make a better world instead of, you know, fighting each other. We are supposed to be the most intelligent creature of nature, but from what I see, we're the only ones that we kill without reason, just because of cruelty. And that doesn't, I don't think that makes us, you know, the smartest creature in nature. All the balances that, I mean, if you're in the oceans, if you're in lakes, in rivers, in the mountains, there's a normal flow of life, and it's so natural, because all creatures are doing what they were supposed to do. They know their purpose in life, but then we come and we start to try to get more and more, and we start to destabilize all those systems, and that's what the book is, in a very heartful and spiritual way, to try to share with others, look, let's recover our humanity. Let's recover our empathy. Let's be kind to each other. We used to be kind to each other, but we're not anymore. We're always, you know, fighting and competing against each other. And through the voice of the sea, words come out that because the voice of the ocean is only a witness of what is happening, and it cannot get involved. And it starts to tell the story of how we humans, not everyone, but some humans have lost their way, and the only thing that we will achieve with this is our self-destruction. But again, there's always hope, because without hope, there's no life. And an amazing creature appears with hints, and a magic shell plays a very important role in this book. And also the purest soul in the world. So in the end, with the help of Daniel Dolphin, this the purest soul in the world will try to achieve all the things that we've been talking about, you know, to recover our kindness, our humanity, to get together, to realize that we only have one planet, and it's a beautiful planet, and to be kind again to each other instead of fighting with each other, respecting others. And again, I guess the only way you can do that is by trying unconditional love. Also forgiveness, because many people don't know what they are doing, the damage they are doing. So forgiveness is so important. And start again, you know, from a point where we had a beautiful balance in this beautiful world.
Beautiful words, Sergio. Thank you. And yeah, to realize also we are like all in this together. And on the same hand, also realize you matter. You as an individual, your voice, your actions matter. Because I think often this feeling of I have to consume more, or I'm not worth as a human, I'm worth my belongings, is because we feel we don't matter, you know? But if everyone, each of us would know, I matter, I'm good the way I am. So I don't need any status symbols or things like that. We would consume so much less. And the thing is, all the, you know, what amazes me sometimes, we spend so much time, so much effort, so much money in consuming things because we think we don't matter. But at the end, all these things we consume will end up being trash. I mean, and that's another problem we have, right? So everything's going to be trash.
Exactly. Everything will be trash. And those things won't feel the hole that you feel in your soul or in your heart. They won't, because loving yourself is the most important thing. And why not loving yourself by who you are, and with the promise of, okay, tomorrow I'll try to be a little better. But not comparing yourself to the others. Just the only person you should compare yourself is yourself. Because, and if we all do that in harmony, with our true humanity, and with empathy and kindness, we can make and really change the world to a better place, and realize that most of the things, the material things that we have, we don't need. This is just propaganda from big multinationals and marketing strategies to make us think that we need them. So, again, recover our humanity and stop, revive, survive, and just think, you know, for half an hour or an hour, what should I do? What do I really want to do of my life? And not what others want my life to be. Because that's the whole point. As long as we don't think for ourselves, all these big multinationals are so happy because they have us exactly where they want to have us. But again, the power of one multiplied by the power of millions, which is the association that will be launching with the book stress on that, in the individual itself that thinks by himself, and that he will sooner or later find that there are so many people around that they are thinking the same way, but they don't find a way to make, to you know, to act, to stop this all this damage that we're doing to all, to this unique planet that we have. So I guess we will be able to do this, and again, without hope, there's no future. So I truly believe we're not late.
And that's a beautiful thought. I truly also believe that, and I believe that one shining heart can light up the whole world, as you said, like the ripple effect. You know, we see, okay, I there's someone who thinks and feels like me, and there's another person and another person. And I think it's so important to realize the own power and the own, like, love and what this love can do, especially in times where not only big multinational, you know, organizations try to trick us in something, but also like political leaders deny climate change. I mean, let's not go there, but you know,
we have this maybe he's doing some good things, but getting out of we have a huge problem with this new president. You know who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a huge problem.
But again, you know, let's hope. I'll tell you something, Sarah. It's so simple. I lived in Australia for a long time, an amazing country that they really take care of the environment. And in all their national parks and in all their beaches, there's always a sign that you can read. And it's as simple as that. When you leave, only leave footprints in the sand. And the only thing that you take with you are your photographs and your memory. So in the end, what they are saying is, leave this beautiful place the way you found it. And in this case, not talking about the power of one multiplied by the power of millions you mentioned before. What can we do? Let's do the right thing. I mean, as individuals, you know, recycle. If you see a plastic bottle that maybe somebody else threw on the beach, don't wait for that person to pick it up. Pick it up yourself. Do the right thing in your house. Recycle. Live with what you really need, and of course the things that make you happy, and by setting the example, it's amazing, because I've done it. I pick up plastic bottle in the beach, and if kids see me or somebody see me, they immediately start to see if they can, you know, do something else to clean the beach, because in we as humans, we know what is right.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I think is so beautiful, because you don't have you are not thinking, man, it's, I don't pick up trash because I'm a world known author. You think, you know, no, but a lot of people think, hey, why should I pick up the trash from other people? It's none of my business. It's under my standard, which is obviously insane. But what I wanted to say, it also shows that you are so in balance with yourself and the person you are.
Sarah, the fact that I've sold, I don't know, millions of books around the world doesn't make me better or worse. I'm just a simple human being that loves the oceans, and that one day he left everything to try to discover the true purpose of his life. But I'm not better or worse. You see, one of the things life made me a writer because I'm a chemical engineer by profession. But one of the things that I love about people reading my books and when I get the messages is seeing how in some way I help them to follow their dreams. And that's the best gift I can get. Not the money. The best gift for me, giving something without asking anything in return. That's the best gift you can get in life. And that's what my life has been about always. Unfortunately, of course, for all the philanthropy things, you need money. And I have to say to you, I've run out of it. So in this case, what I'm trying to do with my books are focus in groups of people that are willing to help and also to make a better world, because there's so much to do. There's so much to do. And of course, we had beautiful results. You know, we've freed so many dolphins in aquariums around the world. We've saved so many whales. We've saved so many beaches, you know, cleaning them, making people aware, don't respect nature. But I feel now that that's my mission in life. I always listen to the voice of my heart, because the voice of my heart is never wrong. And I will do the best I can to make a difference. But for that, and I say to you, sir, you see, the fact that we're making a podcast, we're now two, not one. And it's, as you said before, it's a ripple effect. And nobody's more important than anyone. It's just a matter of getting together and showing all this to the world. And I know if you do it, they will come. Mm-hmm. People will come and join us.
So the book, I would say the title in German, it's Der träumende Delfin und die Stimme des Ozeans. And I was one of the lucky ones able to read it before. And I want to, just say to all the listeners, go and get the book. I mean, you listen to Sergio now. I think the people listened more with their heart than with their ears to this podcast. And that's a beautiful thing. And you made that happen. Thank you, Sergio.
It's the only thing I know. No, thank you, Sarah. It's the only thing I know how to do, because as I said before, I wasn't born a writer. So when I write, it comes directly from my heart to my hands without passing through my mind. And that's based on the experiences I had in my life, throughout my life. But no, thank you. Yes, I'll be promoting the book in Germany from mid-March to mid-April, Germany, Switzerland, and Austria, and also talking about the environment and with hope trying to make this dream come true.
Looking forward, maybe seeing you on your tour. And to all the listeners, we, Sergio and I, wish you a beautiful day, a beautiful evening, wherever you guys are. Bye-bye.